O God, our great companion, lead us day by day deeper into the mysteries of life and enable us to become faithful interpreters of life to our fellow men. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. There is one emotion that every person experiences that has the power to be creative or destructive. That emotion is anger. It is a basic human experience that we do not want to talk about much in church. There are not many examples of anger expressed around St. Peter's Church. This parish is functioning at a very high level of commitment to core Christian beliefs to look beyond ourselves. We are not obsessed with our survival as a parish church and addressing the needs of others. This is a robust sign of the spiritual and physical health of our parish. Our rector has summarized his report to the vestry at the last three meetings with the words, "We are in a good place." Those words ring true. So it seems counterintuitive to talk about anger in church this morning. It does seem out of place to think together about the role of anger in our lives and in the world we share with others. The gospel for today places an example of Jesus' anger front and center. This is one of the many examples of Jesus being ticked off. From an expression of frustration to name-calling to physical violence, today's gospel reading contains all three. Interestingly enough, a study of the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, reveals some interesting statistics about Jesus' anger. Jesus was angered with Peter 4 times, the people 9 times, his disciples 8 times, and the Pharisees 38 times. The New Testament does not soften the number of times Jesus was ticked off, and neither will we. It is Jesus' utter humanity that inspires us. He wasn't acting or going through the motions as if he was human. There was no mechanical Messiah working its way through the world who somehow escaped what it means to be human. It is his humanity that inspires our minds and our hearts. Let us take a quick look at anger. It has 3 components. First, we experience physical sensations. We experience a rush of adrenaline, an increased heart rate, blood pressure, and tightening muscles. This is sometimes referred to as the fight or flight response. Secondly, is our thought process and how we perceive what is making us angry. We may feel that something that happened to us is wrong, unfair, or undeserved. Third, our behavior will reflect our anger. There's a wide range of behaviors open to us. We may look and sound angry, turn red, raise our voices, clam up, slam doors, storm away as a signal to others that we are angry. Jesus exhibited all 3 aspects of anger in today's gospel reading. However, we must quickly confirm and affirm that this is just one snapshot of Jesus in action. It does not adequately summarize the deep meanings of his life and teachings after this event. The picture of Jesus in cleansing the temple is quite a contrast to Jesus hanging on the cross, having been unfairly accused, brutally treated, mocked and jeered, saying with his final words, "Father, forgive them." It is that creative movement in Jesus' thinking and behavior, from the temple cleansing to the crucifixion, that we want to think about today. Jesus' anger was transformed into the most creative, powerful behavior that the world has ever known. It is the hope of the world. He transformed the energy of his anger into the most potent force for good. And we are still seeking to understand and live as he did. We must learn that in order to survive. The brightest minds of our generation are reminding us of this. British theoretical physicist and cosmologist Stephen Hawking says, quote, "Forget doomsday asteroids, global plagues, and supervolcanoes. We are facing a much more immediate threat, and it's in our own behavior. The human failing I would most like to correct is aggression. It threatens to destroy us all. We need to replace aggression with empathy, which brings us together in a peaceful, loving state." That is a secular description of Jesus' concept of the kingdom of God. The impotence of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth has long been recognized. Aggression and violence beget aggression and violence. It is heartening to know that some of our highest ranking military generals in the United States today are cautioning against a military solution in the Middle East. Their advice is, give diplomacy a chance. Let's talk. Last Sunday's sermon by our rector emphasized this truth. The path to peace is to meet violence with nonviolence. That was Jesus' way. How did Jesus accomplish this movement from aggression to empathy? And importantly, how do we move from our anger to loving relationships in our life? To move from I to we. In his autobiography, Martin Luther King wrote about an incident that occurred in 1943. When I was 14, I traveled from Atlanta to Dublin, Georgia, with a dear teacher friend of mine, Mrs. Bradley, to participate in an oratorical contest. We were on the bus returning to Atlanta. Along the way, some white passengers boarded the bus, and the white driver ordered us to get up and give the whites our seats. We didn't move quickly enough to suit him, so he began cursing us. I intended to stay in that seat. Mrs. Bradley urged me up, saying, "We have to obey the law." We stood up in the aisle for 90 miles to Atlanta. That night will never leave my memory. It was the angriest I have ever been in my life. Dr. King went on to be the elegant spokesman of the civil rights movement, a movement that changed the segregation laws of our country and enabled our country to elect its first president of color. In very personal terms, Dr. King went from "I am angry" to "We shall overcome." Let's not miss the process. The "I" of anger become the "We" of community, and a powerful movement came into being. The "I" of individualism becomes the "We" of relationship and fellowship and change. That reflects Jesus' journey. That is to be our way of living as well. It is impossible to be human or a follower of Jesus in isolation. Christian living is the process of learning to expand the "I" into "We." One of the overlooked strengths of St. Peter's Church that we do not often see is that we are not led by prima donnas in the clergy, vestry, or parish organizations. It is healthy to hear the term "we" so much of the time around St. Peter's Church, and the term "I" has given way to the sense of church, which is "we." The essence of democracy is "we." Great CEOs think in terms of "we." Great world leaders think in terms of "we." It is no longer possible to live in isolation. The concept of community, brotherhood, family of nations is beginning to mold our thinking in a fresh way. Thank God. This dynamic moves in the direction of Jesus' concept of the kingdom of God. Two quick questions to enable us to get from I to we. What do when we get angry? Is anger ever appropriate? How do we handle our anger? Answer, own it. It's yours. No one really makes us feel what we feel. The attempt to shift the blame and responsibility to another is a cop-out. It is an evasion of responsibility, personal responsibility, not to accept and own our own anger. How many crimes have been committed? How many lives have been lost? How many families have been devastated and torn asunder because someone did not own their anger and expressed it destructively to others? Uncontrolled, unowned anger touches every level and dimension of society. From divas to Democrats, from rabbis to Republicans, from playground bullies to cyberbullies, from the powerful to the powerless, from the minister to the merchant, unchecked, unacknowledged, and unowned anger has left a legacy of suffering, emotional pain, and all too often death in its wake. Even the unauthorized use of a parking spot can cause trouble. A humorous example came to me this past week from my brother-in-law in Illinois, who owns a piano tuning business. One of his technicians was sent to tune the piano in a small Methodist church in northern Illinois. The tech noticed a sign where the pastors park. There was only one sign for two parking places, and it read, "Preacher Parking." And near the bottom in small print it read, "You park here, you preach." TEDx produced a film about six convicted killers in Sing Sing prison. The film was offered to them as an opportunity to share how they think about themselves and their lives now that they are in prison. Each had been on death row, and their messages were individually given but had the same basic concerns. This is a quote of some of them. "Get to those teenage boys in the hood and help them address their anger before it is too late." One with tears streaming down his face pleaded, "Tell them that once that bullet leaves your gun, the damage it does cannot be undone. You will live with that the rest of your life." Another said, "There's something fundamentally wrong with our society where guns can be purchased so easily on the street." Another was asked, "How did you feel when you had a gun in your hand?" He said, "I felt powerful and knew that that gun got me respect. Maybe if I had more powerful feelings in my life and respected other parts of my life, I would not have reached for the gun." Each of these men owned their anger and their choices to express it. They embraced their shame. They deeply regretted the consequences of their choices on their families, the victims' families, and themselves. We must learn to own and accept our anger. Christians have a tough time with that. Jesus did. Second question, is it ever appropriate to be angry? Yes, absolutely. Jesus was angry on several occasions. What ticks you off? As you look at the larger picture of life, what makes you angry? What spurs you to feel a sense of we and drives you to take action? There's a bumper sticker which reads, "If you're not outraged, you're not paying attention." I do not know your lives well enough to know what ticks you off in the big picture of your life. I do know things that create feelings of anger in me. It bothers me deeply that Devante Hart, a sensitive boy of 12, would look at the color of his skin and ask his mother with tears if he would live to be 20 years of age. It bothers me deeply to see our president caricatured as a monkey on the internet by not-so-closeted racists. It bothers me deeply to note the slow progress that Gabby Gifford and Mark Kelly, members of the NRA, are able to make to change the laws of our country for greater gun safety. It bothers me deeply that the institutional church is becoming more concerned about its survival as an institution than its mission in the world, blunting its prophetic witness and signaling timidity in the faces of evil. Our anger will either serve or destroy the world. Moses said to his people thousands of years ago, "I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Choose life, and then you and your descendants will live." Whether we live or not depends upon how we respond when we are angry with ourselves or each other.